Hello and welcome to the 20th episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. My name is TJ Deitch. I'm your host and I run poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com. That's the site that hosts this podcast, and it is where I also host my photo diaries, which are daily rundowns of kind of what happened in my life, along with pictures, usually ones that include my daughter. Occasionally, I will also write a few other posts. I've been actually thinking about upping the content on that side, aside from, or in addition to, the photo diaries and the podcast. I will say that one of the nice things about actually having this podcast is it gets a lot of the ideas that I'm kind of going through out. The only problem with that is that it's not as easy to search for them when I want to refer back later. So it's kind of hard to remember, like, did I talk about, a certain movie or a certain story or memory in the 9th episode or the 10th episode or the 20th episode. I'm looking to get into that a little bit more. I've been trying really hard to keep up on my food blog as well. That's monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com, all one word. This week, I am actually covered for all 5 days. I took some time and I wrote out 5 posts and I've got them all set up to go out throughout the week, which I'm happy about because the past 2 to 3 weeks have been pretty slow over there, and I apologize for that. And it's too bad because I do like writing and talking about these things, and I like keeping them going, and I feel like for whatever small audience I do have, you know, it gets kind of disappointing when people aren't putting out the things that you want at the speed that you're used to. So I guess the expectations that I've set, at least for the food blog, are pretty low, considering how poor I am at updating on a regular basis, but I'm trying. For whatever reason, that is the blog that I work on that kind of falls to the wayside the most. I'm behind on photo diaries, but I'm trying to catch up. They're not so time-consuming, but when there's so many, it takes a while to kind of remember what happened that day and get caught up and look back at notes and get the right pictures and all that. But when it comes to the food blog, it's like if I've already written on United Monkey, that's monkeee.com, and I've already done something for Pop Papa, which is usually recording some podcasts or doing some photo diaries. If it's coming down to writing, you know, one of the stories that I'm working on or doing the food blog or just sometimes just watching TV and zoning out a little bit, those wind up falling to the wayside. But that's not what this podcast is about. This podcast is about my adventures as a work-from-home father. Trying to think, this week hasn't been ultra busy. The heat took up all of last week, so Lou and I actually didn't leave the house much in that time span. It finally broke today, and it's actually like 78 degrees in the house, which is amazing. I turned the air conditioning on to get it down from 81. It got to 78. That's kind of where we have it set, and that's where it was when I turned it off to record because I don't want it to kick on. Because it sounds like a dragon. So that's broken finally. But even last week, my wife would come home and take Lucy to the pool that's part of our complex and go swimming, which is cool because she's taking these swim classes. This past Saturday, my wife was running this rebel race thing that she's done the past 2 years. And since she was doing that, I took Lucy to swim class. And I gotta say, it was kind of very, very frustrating because Lucy had zero desire to do any of the things that she was supposed to. There was one thing where you're sitting on the ledge, you're supposed to kind of roll over and push yourself into the water and hold on to the side. She wasn't really having any of that. There was 2 different things where they were supposed to hold on to the wall in the pool and kind of push back. She didn't really do any of that. You're supposed to hold them and they're supposed to kick and scoop. So, you know, kick their legs and then scoop with their hands. She really wasn't doing that. She does this thing when you flip her over on her stomach and she like puts her arms like straight up and her legs kind of bending out of the water. It's kind of impressive, but it's also frustrating when you're trying to do this thing. And I try to keep my personal frustration intact because, you know, obviously if she senses that I'm freaking out or not enjoying this, then she's definitely not either. But the thing is, all she wanted to do was play with the beach ball and sing songs and dance around. So I think she's learning stuff because, you know, when my wife took her to the pool, she was doing things. And when we were at a pool on Saturday at our friend's house and she went underwater a little bit and she even put on her swimmy vest thing and wanted to jump off the diving board. And so my wife was holding her and then another friend of ours and I we're kind of floating on noodle type things at the edge of the diving board, and we'll kind of grab her and bring her into the water. And she was loving all this stuff, and she was getting a kick out of this. And that was the only time she's worn her swimmy thing. It's like, I don't know if you remember, when we were kids, they had these inflatable swimmies that you just brought up to, like, your bicep, pretty much, and that kind of kept you afloat. Well, now they've got them where they're made out of foam, and they're actually connected in the front. So what happens is, if the kid falls in the water or whatever, they're going to float on their back. Because all the floaty stuff is in the front. So if they're on their backs, it'll bring them up. But, you know, another kid at the pool, she had one. And you can swim normally. It's not like it completely flips you on your back all the time. But Lucy has just never gotten into this thing. She didn't want to wear it at the cottage. She didn't want to wear it last summer at Em's parents' house because they've got a pool. I mean, you show the thing to her and she freaks out. So when she saw the diving board, she wanted to dive off that, and we're like, okay, you got to put your thing on. And so she went over and we put it on, and she jumped in a few times. And then, you know, after 5 or 6 attempts, she was done. So the thing came off and she just went back to sitting over on the steps. But back to the lesson, it was, you know, a little bit of a lesson in patience for me. I wasn't frustrated with her necessarily, but it just seemed like the whole thing was designed. All these toys are sitting out, and what else is, like, a 2-year-old going to want to do but play with toys? She's not going to want to flip around and do this thing. It's because other classes were going on. There was an older class to the side, and they had these toy dinosaurs, and they were, like, throwing them and supposed to swim to them and all this stuff. But I don't know. I mean, she seems to have the interest in swimming, just maybe not the interest in swimming class. And I guess there's, like, a thing where you can, like, pass and fail. And Em told me this, and I was like, I don't give a poop if she passes or fails the, you know, it's not even the YMCA anymore. It used to be a YWCA, actually, but it's called, like, whatever. Doesn't matter. But I don't care if she passes or fails this. If she's enjoying swimming and we're getting, you know, a little bit of an advancement, that's fine. I'm totally fine with her not passing Guppy or whatever training it is. So I think it's a little crazy that they've got that set up for children her age that you're going to pass or fail. I don't know. It just seems a little harsh for a swim class. And I said, this got brought up at the party that we were at on Saturday after the Rebel race. We were over at a friend's house. They've got the pool. That's where we were swimming, and Lucy was diving and all this stuff. And I was like, you know what? You fail at swimming when you drown. That's pretty much it. That's how I look at it. And that's definitely not going to happen, because usually 2 to 4 sets of eyes are on this kid at all times when she's near water. So that was kind of a frustrating experience. Her and I came back to the house and we kind of hung out on Saturday and then went to this party. But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Last week was an interesting one. To move into a little bit of TV talk, when we were at my parents' cottage, I don't remember if I mentioned this on the on the previous episode or not, but they have a DVD projector. So, you know, you literally put a DVD in it and it projects it like a movie theater. And my dad had a great idea of a way to build a screen. And so they actually have it set up because there's 2 trees in the perfect position in their yard where he hangs this screen and they put it outside and bring chairs out. And you can watch movies. Last summer, we watched Mission Impossible 4, the latest one, Ghost Protocol, on this, and it was awesome. I mean, it's not as crisp as, say, watching it on Blu-ray, but it's gigantic, so that's awesome. This time, we were setting it up, and this rain started coming, so we brought it inside. You can actually set it up kind of near their windows inside, and it was up for, like, the last 2 days that we were there. And one of the movies that they showed was Wreck-It Ralph, and my dad bought the DVD Blu-ray combo pack and kept the DVD for himself because they don't have a Blu-ray player yet, and handed the Blu-ray to us. And let's see, it's Monday as I'm recording this right now. I believe she's watched that movie every single day since we got back. So for almost 2 weeks, Wreck-It Ralph has been on. Now, I'm glad that there's, like, a new movie in the rotation, but that's just a lot to watch. I tried showing her WALL-E again, and she seemed really into it for like 10 minutes. And then after 12 minutes, she was done. I don't know what it was. You know, she didn't even get to the part where Eve showed up. She wanted to watch, you know, Toy Story or some other thing. But one movie that I was able to show her that she wanted to watch a couple days in a row was Meet the Robinsons. Now, this is a CGI movie that Disney did. Not Pixar, but Disney. And it's about this kid in the present who's an orphan. And he's kind of having a hard time with things. And he wants to be an inventor. And he winds up going to the future and hanging out with his family, the Robinsons, who are all kind of wacky, and there's all this crazy science, and there's the bad guy trying to, you know, reshape time and all this stuff. And it's one that my wife and I watched and both really enjoyed, because I like the kind of fantastical elements of it. You know, people travel in bubbles, and there's like, for no real reason, there's like a band of singing frogs that are like the Rat Pack, basically. And it's just fun. You know, sometimes in my own mind, I get a little too caught up with like, that couldn't really happen, even within, you know, like a set of fictional rules. But it's fun to watch these movies where it's just like anything can happen. You know, there can be a dinosaur, and there can be a model train that's the size of a real train and therefore not really a model that runs through an entire house, and all this cool stuff that I remember as a kid really enjoying. And what I did this time, and I think this might be a good tip, because the beginnings of movies tend to either be sad or slow, especially these animated movies. And so what I did was I put it in and I skipped to at least the second or third chapter in the movie, kind of when things really start kicking in. And if you know a movie pretty well, this might be a good idea just to get kind of cut through the tree hole a little bit, get to the good stuff that they're going to like. And then if they do like it, then, you know, you'll kind of see it again later. She didn't mind, you know, the next day when I put it in and it started at a place she didn't recognize. She was already in and she liked it. She hasn't asked to see it again, but then again, it's not one of the movies that is like out in the case. I think those are the ones that she's drawn to the most because she sees them and can be like, oh, let's watch Toy Story, or let's watch Adventure Time or Princess and the Frog. All those kinds of things are still pretty high on the repeat list. I mentioned how I've seen the Toy Story trilogy several times. That continues. I was kind of hoping that Wreck-It Ralph and Meet the Robinsons and maybe something else would kind of bump those out of the way, but I still probably watched all three Toy Story movies at least twice last week, or at least was in the room while they were playing. And I mean, you could do a lot worse. It could be, you know, 10 hours of Elmo still, which she still does enjoy, but not to the extent that she used to. So I'm not sure. There's a couple things on Netflix that I want to try. There's some older Disney cartoons that are on there. Not the movie. I mean, there are movies, but the like shorts and like adaptations. Like there's a Mickey and the Mouse, Prince and the Pauper thing and a couple other, like Three Little Pigs. I'm going to see if I can start showing her those. As I mentioned last week in the Pop Pop of the Week segment, I have been watching That 70s Show again. Instead of trying to find a movie that I want to watch, or if I just need to kill like a little bit of time, you know, if I think she's not going to sleep for more than another 45 minutes, I'll put That 70s Show on. And since I've seen it so much, I can kind of have it on the background and not necessarily need to focus on it, but still kind of have an idea of what's going on. And it's just a great show. And actually, Lucy kind of likes it too. I mean, obviously, a lot of the stuff isn't thematically appropriate, but she doesn't understand what they're saying or what's happening. So it's fine for now, at least. And so it's kind of cool that she's into it. I mean, she doesn't know the characters' names yet or anything, but it's fun watching something that you like with your kid, especially when you kind of have to watch a lot of stuff that you don't necessarily like. One more quick thing that I wanted to throw in for TV time that actually just happened today. She watched Wreck-It Ralph today, and then there was something else she wanted to watch. I think she watched A Little Adventure Time, and then we went over to Toy Story 3, and she did this adorable thing. She's had a few interesting reactions to Toy Story 3. She started laughing during the, like, going into the incinerator part, which was a little disconcerting. Sometimes she'll be like, they're holding hands! Like, it's this great thing. So I think that's kind of a good indicator that she doesn't understand, you know, peril and when terrible things are about to happen. She does get upset sometimes, like in the end battle in Wreck-It Ralph, where he's fighting, no spoiler warning, but when he's fighting the bad guy at the end, because that's kind of creepy and Ralph is getting kind of tossed around a little bit. That doesn't always sit well with her. But the adorable thing that she did today while watching Toy Story 3 was that, you know, at the end, I guess spoilers for Toy Story 3, Andy gives the toys to that little girl and they play for however long and then he goes off to college. And as the car is driving away, Lucy was, she always sits right in front of the TV, which is probably terrible for her eyes, but I can't get her to not do it. She waves her hand up in the air and says, "Bye-bye, Andy." And she wasn't sad or anything. She was just saying it. So it was pretty cute. Talked about this a little bit before, but it's kind of cool seeing her interact even with just a television, because it shows that she's becoming more emotionally developed, I think, in understanding how you interact with people. She's getting a lot better with just people in general. She's not being so shy immediately upon meeting somebody. She kind of knows our neighbors a little bit. So when they come out of their house or if we're walking by each other on the way to do something, she interacts with them a lot better, which is good. One thing that I wish was developing a little bit quicker than it is the whole potty training thing. She's gone on the potty a couple of times. We've got one of these kid toilet seat things that's actually also a ladder. So you flip it up and one half is the seat. It's like a padded seat that's smaller for a kid so they don't fall in. And then the other half is a ladder so they can walk right up. So we'll put it out, you know, do you have to go potty? Yes. And maybe 1 out of 10 times she actually climbs up the thing and goes potty. And it's getting kind of frustrating. I don't really know how long these things are supposed to take. And I've talked to a few other people, and it really is just kind of a when they're ready kind of thing. But I thought at least by, you know, watching the Elmo Potty DVD and looking at the Elmo Potty book and looking at the Elmo Potty app on my wife's Kindle, that this would kind of be going along a little bit more. And I know it's a process, and I know it takes a while. It can be frustrating when it feels like all you do all day is check to see if a child has gone to the bathroom in their pants, which is something that you then have to clean up. And, you know, it's not fair, it's not right, but, you know, it is the kind of thing that is getting to me. She has this ability to completely zone out when she's not interested in something. So if you're asking her about it and she has no interest in it, she'll basically just turn around and ignore you, which is frustrating. But it all kind of goes back to the one main rule idea that I would pass along to any parent or would soon to be parent or would be parent even, is as much as it feels personal, it's never personal. Like, the kid isn't trying to upset you. The kid isn't actively ignoring you because they think you're a jerk or anything like that. They just are completely self-driven. They only worry about themselves. That's how they are built. That's just how it works. And, you know, they kind of slowly learn compassion and all that kind of stuff. But at this point, it doesn't feel like there's much for dear old dad and having to clean up poop every day. So that's just kind of a minor complaint of where I'm at right now. It's one of those development things that I really wish we could get through, because as much as I want it to happen, I also, like, I feel like I've been changing diapers forever, and it doesn't seem like there's any end of the tunnel, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, it's just one of those things that's been kind of on my mind a lot lately. But, I mean, she's smart and awesome and nice and fun and all that stuff, so it's a minor complaint, and she eats really well on her own and all this stuff, so I don't know. The whole diaper thing is kind of a sticking point. We're trying to, like, cut back her water before she goes to bed because that's leading to some accidents. And even last night, Lucy got up at, like, midnight because she had gone to the bathroom so much. So I changed her diaper, then I brought her back into our room and put her down. But the first thing that she asked for is water. We're trying not to give her water throughout the night. And so she wound up, you know, screaming for, like, 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, and I had to just leave the room because it was driving me crazy. And soon enough, she fell asleep, or I fell asleep. I'm not sure which one of us dozed off first, but I woke up on the couch and went back in, and everybody was asleep. I probably should have moved her into her own bed at that point, but I didn't think about it. The other thing, and this is just something I assume I'm going to have to get used to, is that her sleep schedule has basically shrunk a little bit. She still naps pretty well. I can get 2 hours out of her in the, you know, mid-afternoon, which is pretty handy. But she's been getting up at like 6:30 now. It just seems to keep getting earlier and earlier, man. I remember the days when we could get a few days in where we woke up like after my wife left for work. And now it's like she gets up at 6, my wife gets up whenever she gets up, and then I sleep as much as I can until about 7 when my wife wakes me up because she's got to start taking off for work. So that's been a little frustrating too. You know, I kind of just want to put her in a bed and teach her how to use the remote so we don't have to bother with it so much, but she's probably still a little bit too young for that at this point. Wanted to mention one more thing before we kind of move into the pop-pop of the week and the pop-pop of seal of approval before closing out, and that is that I don't know how much you guys know about me, but I've wanted to be, you know, a fiction writer since I was a little kid. And my main job now, aside from raising our kid, is writing about comics and entertainment for various websites, which is, you know, it's basically journalism, pop culture journalism, whatever you want to call it. And I've talked about this in a pretty early episode, I think, one of the first two or three. And it's important, you know, when you're a stay-at-home parent to kind of have something else that you like to do that you can keep doing, you know, whether it's writing or playing music or getting out and playing a sport or running or whatever it is, exercise, anything like that. It's important to do those things because it kind of keeps you balanced. If you're always focused on the kid or the house or your work, it can be draining, you know, and you got to mix it up to keep your life kind of balanced. But it can be difficult when the thing that you want to do is so closely related to things that you already do every day. For instance, since I write on my computer all day, it can be tiring when I want to write later on, and you don't always want to be under your computer, especially if it's hot out and things can get in the way. You know, like last night I was writing when Lucy woke up at midnight, and I probably had another hour in me, but I wound up going to bed early because it just wasn't going to work out. But something that I've talked to my wife about and we're going to start trying to arrange in the coming weeks is for me to leave on like a Saturday or Sunday, go to the coffee shop and write for like an hour or two. This is the coffee shop that I used to go to all the time before Lucy came around, and I go to every now and then when like my wife flexes or if I just get the opportunity, you know. It's nice to get away and get to a place where you can just do the thing that you want or need to do. Usually it's work stuff, but I really feel the need to set some time apart because, I mean, I know I'm 30 and that's not super old, but I really feel like a ticking clock all the time. Like I've got to make a concerted effort to actually make this writing thing happen. And so often I will just play a video game instead or watch a movie instead. And it really is like this important thing that I feel the need to do, because if I'm not going to take it seriously, what's the point? If I don't finish anything, nobody's ever going to read it. Even if it's just something I pass to my friends and we talk about, it needs to be finished, and I'm not finishing anything lately. So I've been working on this book. I'm about 100 pages in now, and I don't know how good it is, but I hope it's all right. And I actually recently dug out this kind of sci-fi comedy screenplay I wrote, but I hand wrote it on legal pads. And so I'm transcribing that. Right after I finished it sometime last year, for some reason I decided to then take all the ideas I had written down and turn it into a prose novel. But the format I originally did it in was screenplay, and I don't know why I did that. Sometimes I think I just keep adding, like, obstacles in my own way so that things take longer, which is very frustrating, especially when I know I'm doing it and I still do it. I don't know why it still happens, but it does. But I stopped working on the prose forever ago. I don't even remember the last time I worked on that, and I was thinking about stuff in the past couple weeks, and this idea popped up, and I was like, I should just type it up, see what I have, print it out, edit it. You know, I'm already a good chunk of the way done, because I've said this before, but writing is so much harder than editing and revising. I've been an editor and a writer as far as pop culture journalism goes, and the editing is so much easier. It's just so much simpler to take something that's been mostly put together and finish it, as opposed to putting something together all on your own. And so I've got that and several other projects that are close to done or almost done or halfway done. And it's like, I just need to start bringing them home, finishing them up, and getting them to a place where I can start showing them to people. So I've got that. I've got a couple other scripts I want to start working on. And I want to finish this book and just kind of see what I wind up having. See if I've even got the talent to do this. Because that's another thing. I haven't shown anybody my work since, like, college. And at that time, I was getting pretty good reviews from my professor. One of the best days I remember was going into my creative writing teacher's office for like a mandatory meeting or whatever, and him being like, I've really noticed a level jump for you. You know, you were kind of down here, and with the last few things you've written, you've popped up here. And I don't really remember what it was in reference to. I don't remember what I had written necessarily. I've got all that stuff still, but I don't remember the specifics right now. And that just felt really good. And I don't know if I still have that, or if I don't. I just need to really start finishing stuff. And so hopefully in an effort to do that, I'm going to be have these weekly retreats to the coffee shop where I can just write and get stuff done. So hopefully that works out. I mean, obviously if we're visiting someone or someone's visiting us, it's not going to work out. Or like last weekend, it didn't work out because we were doing so much stuff. And that's fine. But I would like to get it to be at least a semi-regular thing. Because it's also, I just need to get out of the house. I need to get out of the house and be around other people a little bit. I don't remember if I talked about this or not, but not last weekend, but the weekend before that, I had a really frustrating Friday or Saturday or whatever it was. And Em was like, you know what? Why don't you go watch Pacific Rim? And so I went out and I did. I was super excited about that movie. She had zero interest in seeing it. And it was kind of exactly what I needed. I walked out of that movie. I was charged up because I liked the movie. I was charged up because I got out of the house. It's charged up just in that way that you are when you come home from an action movie. And it's just, you know, you feel pumped up. I remember when I was in high school and we left like Fast and the Furious or Gone in 60 Seconds from the theater. I drove my Aerostar minivan like a little faster than I needed to. I didn't necessarily drive my Mazda 3 like a giant robot or anything fighting monsters. But it was fun. It was a great movie, a good experience. I came home. Lucy hadn't even gotten up yet. So that was kind of an interesting evening. But it was really nice of her to do that, and I needed it because it had been a while since I'd gotten out on my own and really done anything aside from grocery shopping. So hopefully that'll kind of be in the cards a little bit. I really just need to kind of focus and let people know what I need instead of just kind of getting frustrated and not saying anything, which is another thing I need to work on. All right, gang, let's get into the Pop Papa Seal of Approval. Now, this one is another simple but well-designed product. It's called the Copco. Now, this is basically two pieces of rubber that you put on a bag of food, and it keeps it sealed up. But what it also does is gives you a lid that pops open so you can easily pour things out. Lucy has this cereal called, like, Nature's Path Organic Heritage O's. They're basically healthier Cheerios. And these bags sit out. And they can get stale. I try to wrap a rubber band around them, but that's not super convenient. Sometimes you lose a rubber band and things just happen. But with this thing, which we actually had for almost 2 years without even remembering that we had it, it not only keeps your food fresh, but it actually gives you easier access to it. I'll have all the information on the show notes for this episode over on poppapa.com to give you kind of an idea of what it is. I'm not explaining it very well. It's kind of difficult to explain. But basically, you put the top of the bag through one piece of rubber, and you fold it over, so that kind of like part of it's inside out, and then you bring the part with the cap on over it, and since it's kind of rubber against plastic against rubber, it seals up really well, and then all you need to do is pop it open, flip it over, and kind of pour out. It can be a little bit almost like milking sometimes, because the bag kind of bunches up with the front, but it's not that big of a deal, and it's much less of a hassle than the way we used to do things. So for being just another great solid product that can be used by anybody, both because it's easy and because everybody has this problem, the Copco gets the Pop Papa Seal of Approval. All right, I'm going to get into the Pop Papa of the Week. First of all, before doing that, I'm giving a special Pop Papa award to my dad again because he moved like 10 or 12 comic book long boxes for me this weekend. No small feat. And for a guy that kind of prefers to just get rid of things, I very much appreciate that he's, you know, keeping a lot of my toys and comics in good shape when I can't have them with me just yet. So that's a, you know, a special lifetime honorary award for saving comic books, because a lot of parents will just throw them out and that sucks. But to get into the pop-up of the week, this is kind of spoilery if you haven't seen Pacific Rim. So if you want to just sign off now, I totally understand it. I've already plugged my websites. If you want to check me out on Twitter, I'm at Papadietsch, P-O-P-P-A-D-I-E-T-S-C-H. You know, if you don't want any of Pacific Rim spoiled, you have a good week. I'll talk to you later. I'll be here next week. If you have seen Pacific Rim and or you don't care about spoilers and you're still here by now, I'm giving the pop-pop of the week to Idris Elba's character from Pacific Rim. So his character is called Stacker Pentecost, which is kind of a goofy name. The basic concept of Pacific Rim, if you haven't seen it, and again, this is spoilery, so jump off if you don't want to hear it, is that there's a rift that opened in the ocean, and it's an interdimensional rift that is shooting out these giant monsters, and it's a thing that the people of Earth have not been able to figure out how to close, so what they did instead was they built these giant robots to fight the giant monsters. The things kind of escalate as the movie progresses and as time goes on, and we start to understand a little bit more about what the monsters are really trying to do. The guy that is kind of leading the robot side of things is Stacker Pentecost, Idris Elba's character. Now, he's the kind of leader, and you get this as the story goes on, that really is the head of this organization, both in organization and in morale. So even though he's got a lot of things that he's dealing with on his own, he understands that as a leader, he needs to stay strong and that everybody can't necessarily see him falter. Definitely not an easy position to be in, but one that he takes very seriously. But as we find out as the story progresses, again, spoilers, is that in addition to being all this to all these people, he's also the adopted father to a girl named Mako. Now, Mako is an important part of the story because she winds up co-piloting one of these giant robots with the main guy to help fight the monsters. And it's all this important stuff that you kind of learn as the story progresses. What you learn about Mako also is that she was a child when one of the monsters was rampaging through, I believe it was Tokyo, and she was alone and freaking out, and all of a sudden, this guy shows up in this robot, takes the monster out, gets out, and he's just like shining figure that she sees, and somehow he winds up adopting her and raising her and all this stuff. You learn this like halfway through the movie, if not later on. But being the hero that he is and the things that he's dealing with, Stacker realizes that even though he is this important figure in this organization, they're getting to the point where it's either save the day or the entire world dies. And he puts himself in danger, both because of past medical problems and because the mission that they're on involves nuclear weapons. So he's fighting alongside his daughter, literally to save the world in these giant robots. It was just this moment where I could really kind of feel for both of them because you're trying to do this job and there's much bigger stakes to be won. The whole survival of humanity, basically. And he is able to focus and put away his own feelings and his own concerns in an attempt to save the world. And she is able to do the same thing. So it's actually like a really nice relationship there, even though it's kind of very military and strict and all that. But I've talked before about how sometimes, you know, you've got to stand up for a greater good, and that might actually put you at risk as far as being a parent goes. In this case, that happened, and not everybody made it back. But, again, super, super, super spoiler, they wound up winning. So it wound up being worth it. But again, it's one of those things you never know. In reality, you never know. When you're watching a movie, you can kind of assume that the good guys are going to win, of course. But I just like that moment. He might not have been a great dad, but he was a great dad to her because he was exactly what she needed. And when I say great dad, I mean like loving and caring and being nice and everything. But like, that's not the world they lived in. They lived in a world where giant monsters were attacking all the time. So it made sense to be harder than, you know, I would be as a dad in my normal life. So I don't know. I just kind of liked that dynamic that they had. And I liked how it was kind of a slow reveal as the movie went on, the whole thing. The whole relationship. I mean, they were close, obviously, but you didn't find out that they were father and daughter until later on. And being adopted myself, I'm always interested in seeing how different adopted relationships are portrayed on television and movies, and this one was pretty interesting. So, you know, for all that, I'm giving Idris Elba's Stacker Pentecost from Pacific Rim the pop-pop of the week. All right, gang, that's it for me. I've already plugged poppapa.com, unitedmonkey.com, monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com, and my Twitter account, so I'm just going to say goodbye and have a good one.